and ask yourself this question. Are you prepared to meet your God? If you were to die this day, could you honestly say you were prepared to meet him? If Christ came back this day, would you be ready to receive him? As it said in Amos 4:11-12, as God told Israel, prepare to meet their God. We're going to talk about preparation today. We're going to talk about how to get ready so you can stay ready, as Brother Carter said last week, so that you will be ready. Gentlemen, you got your Bibles up. Brother Burnside, would you get me Romans 10:17? Brother Lewis, get me Hebrews 6:1. Brother Isaiah Lee, 1 Corinthians 3:5-6. Brother Juan Bell, Matthew 9:37-38. Brother Harris, Romans 10:14. Brother Mike Davis, Acts 16:30-32. Brother Paul Davis, 2 Peter 2:20-22. Brother Milton, Acts 2:38. Brother Hill, Luke 15:7. And we will continue on from there after we go to God in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for waking us up this morning when you did not have to. Thank you for all the things that you have done for us that we did not deserve. Thank you for healing us when we were sick. Thank you for comforting us when we were grieving. We thank you for all these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. I will not try to take too long. I know it's Mother's Day, and some of you want to take your mothers out to celebrate. But I'm going to divide this sermon up into two parts. One directed at the sinner, the other one directed at the Christian. And I might as well get comfortable. I said I'd be short, but then again, I might be a little bit longer than I want to be. First of all, the first thing we have to do is we have to hear if we want to prepare to meet our God. What does Romans 10:17 say, Brother Burnside? So the sinner first has to be able to hear the word of God. To hear the word of God is the first step in preparation. So we have the sinner has to hear. But how is the sinner going to hear? This is where you, the Christian, will come into play. You also have to continue hearing. What does Hebrews 6:1 say, Brother Lewis? So what it's saying here is that you, the Christian, also have to continue to hear. Why must you continue to hear? Because you need to get past the first principles. If you do not get past the first principles, you are still on milk. What does Hebrews 5:12 say? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of one to teach you again, be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need of milk, and not of strong meat. So you, the Christian, have to continue hearing what thus says the Lord, so you can graduate from milk to meat. How can you tell a sinner about God if you yourself have not gotten past the first principles? Also, there's another reason. The sinner needs to hear the word of God. Now, who is he going to hear it from? Let us find out. Brother Isaiah Lee, in 1 Corinthians 3:5-6, what does it say? Let me put this in more contemporary terms. Brother Jackson planted the seed. Sister Betty Bonds watered, and God gave the increase. So every one of you has to go out there and do some planting and do some watering. Don't worry if it doesn't grow. God will take care of that. What does it say, Brother Bell, in Matthew 9:37-38? Why do we have to go do some planting and all this good stuff? What does it say, Brother Bell? Matthew 9:37-38. Who are the workers are going to go out into the harvest? We got 3.5 billion plus souls out there. That's a big harvest, isn't it? Now, who's going to work the harvest? Because the Lord is sending out the workers. You are the workers that are going to be sent out to do the harvesting. What does Romans 10:14 say, Brother Harris? Now, what do you mean by preacher here? Preacher is not just the person who's standing up here talking to you now. Each and every one of you out there is a preacher. When you are an ambassador for Christ. You have to go out there and do what? Spread the word. Plant the seed, water it, and let God give the increase. So, you've heard the gospel, right? You heard the gospel. That's the only way you're going to be able to find that form of doctrine that can save your soul. What do you have to do next? Well, you got to believe it, right? What about the sinner? The sinner has to believe. What does Acts 16:30-32 say? Yeah, Brother Davis. Notice what he said to him. He said, you have to believe. What? On the Lord Jesus Christ. But how was he able to believe? Because they spake unto him what? The word of the Lord. So someone has to go out there and speak the word of the Lord. That goes back to the first principle, which is here. So now for this person to be able to believe, he has to believe what he's heard. Correct? And that's what they were telling the jailer here. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, belief doesn't just stop with the sinner. You, the Christian, have to keep believing. What do you mean? But I've already obeyed that form of doctrine that can save my soul, Brother Burnside. Brother Paul Davis, 2 Peter 2:20-22, what does it say? You believe that form of doctrine, but now all of a sudden you have decided to go back into the beckoning elements of this world. It's better that you have never believed in the first place. That is what Peter is saying here. Better that you had never believed in the first place than to believe and go back. Why? Because then you are a traitor to the Lord. And the Lord deals with traitors harshly. So it's far better that you have never believed than that you believe and return back into the beckoning elements of this world. But belief, you have to keep believing that there is a God. Well, after you believe, what's next? Well, for the sinner, it's repentance, isn't it? You have to repent. Acts 2:38, what does it say, Brother Milton?
Peter replied, repent ye baptized,
Notice what Peter told them. He told them to do what? Repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to do a 180-degree turn. That means to change your lifestyle. That means not to go back to what you used to do. That means you might have to leave friends. You might have to leave mom, dad, brother, and sister. You may have to divorce yourself from someone so that you can remove yourself from that which has made you fall in the past. You have to do a 180. Notice I said a 180, not a 360. 360 just puts you right back where you were. So you're going to repent. Repentance is also for the Christian. Oh, you thought that you don't have to repent? Repentance is for you also. Luke 15 and 7, what does it say, Brother Hill? So if you have fallen short of the glory of God, you need to do what? I can't hear you. Boy, it's kind of dead out there, isn't it? Let's try that again. There we go. That's a little bit more lively there. You need to repent. Repent means what? To say you're sorry. To say you are sorry. Because you made a mistake. That is what repentance is for. Repentance is to bring us back to God and put us back in His good graces. So we have to repent. So the sinner has to repent, and so do we when we have fallen short of the glory of God. Finally, Brother Miles, would you give me Romans 10 and 10? Brother Paul McReynolds, get me Matthew 10, 32 through 33. Brother Thompson, get me James 5 and 16. Brother Calvin Lee, get me 1 John 1, 9. Brother Jackson. Oh, Brother Jackson's running away from me. Brother Paul Davis, get me Acts 8, 34 through 38. Brother Christopher Jones, get me Acts 22 and 16. Brother James Carter, Romans 6 and 4. Brother Cabot, give me Colossians 2, 12, and 14. And we'll be back in a moment. After repentance comes confession. Now, what does the sinner have to confess, Brother Miles? Romans 10 and 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What do you have to confess? The sinner has confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because that confession brought death to the Lord and our Savior, but it'll bring life to him. That sinner. So we see that the sinner has to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. As we step through the first principles. What about the Christian? Well, I've already done my confession. I've already been baptized and everything, Brother Burnside. What do I need to confess? Well, let's take a look. Matthew 10, 32 through 33. What does it say? Notice that you have to confess Jesus Christ in front of who? Men and other women, right? That doesn't mean hide your confession or your life under a bushel. You have to continue to confess Christ before other people. That doesn't mean shy away and say, well, Christ, who's he? You have to continue to confess Christ. Because if you do not, once you get up there, Christ is going to look at you and say, who are you? Aren't you the one who denied me on earth before other people? Well, I not deny you before my Father. I don't know. I never knew you. I don't know you now. James 5 and 16, what does it say, Brother Thompson? Notice what also it says here. You ought to confess your what? Your faults one to another. Why do we confess our faults one to another? So that we can pray one for another. That we may be healed, restored to grace in the Father's eye. Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. So we have to confess. Continue confessing Christ. And at times we have to confess our own faults one to another. So confession doesn't just stop with the sinner. Confession also goes on to those who are saved. Finally, 1 John 1 and 9, what does it say, Brother Lee? Here's another reason why we have to confess. We fall short of the glory of God, so we ought to confess our sins. Why? Because if we confess our sins, Jesus Christ is faithful and just and will forgive us of those sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to continue to confess. Confession doesn't just end with the sinner. Confession is also for us, those who are of the household of faith. Finally, it's time for baptism. Baptism is a necessity. You have to be baptized. Don't let anyone tell you that you do not. All the steps have to be followed. And that last step for the sinner is baptism. You can't just stop at confession. And we here at the Church of Christ will baptize you anytime you're ready. If it's a Wednesday night, we'll baptize you Wednesday night. If it's Sunday morning you want to be baptized, we'll baptize you Sunday morning. If it's midnight and you feel like you need to be saved, call us up and we'll be there. We'll open the doors for you. We're here to save souls. That is our job. Acts 8, 34 and 38, what does it say? Now, notice everything is here. The eunuch heard the word. The eunuch believed the word. The eunuch repented of his sins. He confessed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And he did what? He said, there's water over there. Notice he didn't say, well, I'll get baptized a week from now. He said, no, there is water. What hindereth me from being baptized right now? And Philip looked at him and said, nothing hinders you from being baptized. All you have to do is confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that is what the eunuch did and was baptized that moment. He said, there's water. Baptize me now. Acts 22 and 16, what does it say? Brother Jones. Acts 22 and 16. No, Acts 22, verse 16. Talking to Paul here, who is Saul at the time, and he said to them, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be what? Baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Notice that he said, why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Go and get baptized. He didn't tell him to wait. He said, do now. Brother Cotter, what does Romans 6 and 4 say? This is why the sinner has to be baptized. The sinner has to be baptized so that they can wash away their sins and be buried with Christ in his death and raised up in glory by the Father. So we can walk in the newness of life. Now, this doesn't mean we won't fall off the path, but at that moment, if you should die at that moment, you will be heaven bound. But unfortunately, if you don't die at that moment, or you went down a dry devil and came up a wet one, you might have a problem. Well, what about the Christian? I've been baptized, Brother Burns. I don't need to go back in the water again. But sometimes you forget that you were baptized. Some of you act like you never hit the water in your life. Let's take a look at that. Romans 6, 11 through 12. Oh, excuse me. Colossians 2, 12 and 14. What does it say, Brother Kevin?
Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, have he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross.
Some of us tend to forget why we got baptized. What was the purpose of your baptism? What is the prize that you are looking for? What are you seeking for? You're supposed to be looking for eternal life. And there's only one way that you can get there. You can't buy your way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. Heaven and eternal life is a gift from God. It's by grace that you receive it. And some of us forget why we were baptized. And we have to remember that. Finally, I come to the last step. And the last step is actually broken up into three parts. And this refers both to those new in Christ and those old in Christ. Continuance in the faith. What are the three things we have to do to continue in the faith? One, you have to study. Two, you have to pray. Three, you have to do. And finally, we're going to talk about unity. So let's talk about study. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to study the word of God. If you're going to get past the first principles that I've already outlined, you're going to have to study. And you're going to have to ask questions. There's nothing wrong with asking questions about the Bible. If you don't know anything, you don't know something, you're going to have to ask the question so that you can find out. That means that you come to Bible study on Wednesday night. You come to Bible study on Sunday morning. You study your Bible while you're at home. If you got extra time, pick up your Bible while you're at work. If you're on your lunch hour, pick up your Bible and study it. While you're studying on your lunch hour, somebody might see you and ask a question. But you need to study. That is the only way that you're going to learn. You have to continue to study. You have to pray. Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You have to keep praying. Prayer is your communication with God Almighty. That's the only way you communicate. God's not speaking to you anymore. He only speaks through you. Through his word. There is no direct communication from God. He's not whispering in your ear. He's not down there in the alley while you're walking through it saying, you know, you should believe. No, this is where his word is coming from now. In times of old, yes, God spoke to the prophets. But not with times of old. God isn't speaking to any prophets now. He already has set down his word. He doesn't have to talk to you directly. The word is enough. It is sufficient. And we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You pray without ceasing. Why? You pray to thank God for the things that you have. You pray for other people. You pray for health. You pray that you will be found worthy in the last day. Because it's appointed to man that you're going to die. And after that, the judgment. Finally, you have to do things. You have to work. Now, notice I said you have to work, but that's not going to get you into heaven. Heaven is a gift. That's grace from God. But you have to do something to show your faith. How can you show me your faith? I can see it right now. Brother Jackson, go up. Look, Brother Burns, look at my face. I don't see it. Brother Lee, do you see your faith? You can't see faith, but I can see what you do. Now, if you're not doing what thus says the Lord, your faith is in vain. You can keep your faith. So what does James 1:19-22 say? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James says you have to be what? A doer of the word. That means you got to go out there and do something. You got to go out there and save souls. Plant the word. Water it. And let God give the increase. And finally, I want to talk to you about unity. There should be unity in the house of the Lord. Psalms 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We are to dwell together in unity, brother and sister, because that is what God would have us to do. We are to come and reason one with another. The time will come that we will shuck off this old cord. And we want to be able to go before our Lord and make her prepared. We want to be ready. So to be ready, you have to get ready. You have to stay ready. Because now is the time, now is the hour. So if any of you out there need to seek the Lord, your Savior, Jesus Christ, and wish to obey that form of doctrine that can save your soul, now is the time, now is the hour. If any of you have fallen off the path, now is the time to repent and confess that sin and ask for the prayers of the church so that you might get right with God. Because just like the rich fool, God told the rich fool, you fool, your soul is required of you this night. Notice what he said, this night. Why? Because the rich man thought he had time. Don't think you have time, people. You don't even own the next second. How many of you out here can put 1 second to their life? How many of you can add 1 inch to their height? None of you can. The only time you have is the time that God has allowed you to have. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do now. You can save your soul now. Tomorrow may be too late. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.